Well, good morning, everyone. Today is the 14th of September, 2013, and we are just about wrapping up our, well, I always want to call it our initial discussion of the techniques of integration found in Esoteric Psychology 2. We're on page 376, and we actually have completed the discussion of the stanza for the seventh ray, per se. Now we want to see what the Tibetan says about that stanza. We may remember how did it end. The word goes forth from soul to form. Stand in the center of the pentagram, drawn upon that high place in the east within the light whichever shines. From that illumined center work, leave not the pentagram, stand steady in the midst. Then draw a line from that which is without to that which is within, and see the plan take form. We can understand how powerful these formulas will be when used correctly by those to whom they pertain during the New Age, when the process of personality integration as understood in psychology is really emerging. Right now a few have tried it out, but there will be increasing numbers of disciples who will want to understand their true nature. So DK goes on to say, it is not possible to be more explicit than this. This great and powerful ray is now coming into manifestation, and it brings new energies to man of so potent a nature that the disciple must move of today, must move and work with care. Interesting how he uses the, here we have energies, the plural. So not just the ray energies, but associated energies of a planetary type, perhaps, and other associated constellations like Aquarius, Capricorn, Aries, Cancer. These are zodiacal signs with which one way or another the seventh ray is associated, and others. Anyway, we oftentimes talk of the wonderful effects to be achieved by the seventh ray as it comes into incarnation, but we have to remember that, after all, this is a reflection of the first ray. The first ray ashram, second ray, and fifth ray ashrams are now emerging, and when the seventh ray ashram emerges, still more powerful will be the work. They are, when dealing with the seventh ray, literally handling fire. We've heard of the violet flame and the strong reaction of this color of the seventh ray on the etheric body, which will be the body of focus during the New Age. At least the ethers will be rediscovered. They will no longer be discounted. New formulas will emerge to account for them. And man will cultivate himself etherically, and the physical bodies of human beings will be made, he tells us in Cosmic Fire, more resilient, more vital, more supportive of general health and vitality. A new type of vehicle is emerging, and a new type of health is emerging related to this seventh ray. Vibrational medicine is on its way, and when our conception of the universe, well, at least life on our planet, changes considerably, as it is in process of doing, then these new developments will be ours. So handle with care, he's saying. It is the children who are now coming into incarnation, and this was written in the 30s, who will eventually work more safely and more correctly with these new potencies. There is much, however, to be done in the meantime. And disciples upon the seventh ray can ponder on this formula and seek their own interpretation of it. We see he's refraining from saying too much here. I guess he is going to allow it to emerge in consciousness, even as he does with the white magical process. Allowing the understanding of this formula to emerge through pondering. Again, he will not give us in a explicit manner the integrative word, so they can seek their own interpretation. Endeavoring, first of all, to stand in the East within the protection of the pentagram. And, you know, to an extent, the pentagram has to be understood as the soul. To stand in the East, is to stand within the light of the soul. Yes, to stand within the light of the soul. Let's see. I'd like to... So, as I have said before, whether we're speaking of focusing within a mental pentagram, which is illumined by the soul, or better yet, within the actual causal body, which is the still higher pentagram, we cannot leave the protection of the pentagram. We cannot, we cannot leave the protection of soul understanding. Soul awareness and understanding. And as he realizes the task to be carried out and the nature of the work to be done by the seventh-ray worker and appreciates the fact that it is the magical work of producing those forms on earth which will embody the Spirit of God, and in our particular time, this necessitates the building of new forms, we can say, with the help of the revitalized and understood etheric body. Each seventh-ray disciple, and notice basically he means here, those whose soul is upon the seventh-ray, will see himself as a relating agent. Well, how does it begin, doesn't it? Relating agent. He says, in the very beginning, I seek to bring the two together. The plan is in my hands. How shall I work? Where lay the emphasis? So there are different ways of working with the energy of relationship, and here particularly the different aspects of the human being in the vertical sense are brought together by this skillful agent, this pillar of occult understanding. So each seventh-ray disciple will see himself as a relating agent, as the one who stands in the midst of the building processes. So he says, stand steady in the midst. In the midst of this protective pentagram or sphere, and also in the midst of the many energies which are being moved to create the new forms. Also in the midst of the many energies which are being manipulated, moved, rearranged to create the new and necessary forms. Stand in the midst of the building process, attending to his portion of the work. And there's an old saying, it goes like this. Play well thy part. There all the honor lies. So one cannot do all, but one can do one's share in the division of labor as well as possible. So there is this whole idea of the many working to produce the one work. This is a vision which the seventh ray type really has and will be increasingly the case. People will find their true destiny. They will use the subtle energies to do this, use the horoscope and the ray chart, and will see their place within the whole. This, if really grasped and deeply considered, will have the effect of producing alignment. So let's just say when one works at one's share properly, at one's share in the building within the world of form, then alignment arises. Of course, to be the proper relating agent, one must already have some soul orientation. It's not as if this dawns suddenly, and to a person who is completely material in his consciousness, there comes alignment with the soul. It's already, remember that these formulas are applied when the personality is already rapidly integrating and there is some awareness of the higher pairs of opposites. If there were not, we don't see how the personality consciousness could respond in any significant way. It wouldn't understand what is being said to it, how it is being directed. So already there is some proper orientation. I think, you know, very much in the fifth petal, during the fifth petal process, this can occur, because it is then that one becomes the true aspirant and one can achieve the fifth, rather the first initiation. The moment that this alignment is achieved, then let the disciple remember that it will mean a tremendous inflow of power. Okay. Each seventh-ray disciple will see himself as a relating agent and the one who stands. He becomes a true builder. Let's just say, when the seventh-ray type takes up his position as a position within the building process, then alignment follows. And this is followed by a great inflow, and we presume this will cause the crisis as it has been before, when we're bringing the higher agent in touch with the lower and individual center, then crisis arises. So the moment that this alignment is achieved, then let the disciple remember, and I presume here that DK is sounding a note of caution in relation to this very powerful ray, that it will mean a tremendous inflow of power of energy from both the aligned points, from both directions, converging upon him as he stands at the midway place. This is interesting. One point will be the personality itself, and the other, the soul, which wants to use the disciple as the builder and magician. And this reveals that the disciple is not per se the personality, but stands above the personality at the midway point. between soul and personality. So he is really emphasizing this alignment very strongly in the case of the seventh ray type. Ponder deeply upon this truth, for it is this fact which always evokes a seventh ray crisis. Okay, what is the fact? The moment that this alignment is achieved, then let the disciple remember that it will mean a tremendous inflow of power. From two directions. From two directions. So the disciple has to also contend in this case with the outer or personal sphere and its forces, which can be disruptive when aroused. We get the idea with the seventh ray of a relationship to subterranean powers. By subterranean, we mean, I suppose, the forces which are the lower forces of man and are below the diaphragm, and especially at some point, the Kundalini force, since the base of the spine center is in a way the seventh center, counting from above. And we will see during the seventh ray age much eruption or arising of the Kundalini force and its proper energizing of the mechanism, human mechanism. So he will become the very center of powerful forces. He has to learn how to handle this. The midway place, in this case, that midway place is not the soul, but the disciple's position. Ponder deeply upon this truth, for it is this fact which always evokes a seventh-ray crisis. And maybe we, you know, can review in our minds what these crises are. The increasing light further reveals every crisis. You know, this this realization of all that one has done and the reorientation of the first ray is distinct, let us say, from the loss of interest in life, normal life, of the second ray. Crisis is always accompanied somewhat by light, and then with the crisis there is an intensifying light which will show the way out. In each case, we could maybe find a word to somehow portray the crises. I'll think about that, but you know, like aridity, I've been using aridity for the fifth ray, and for the second ray, disinterest or loss of attachment, loss of motivation, loss of incentive, and for the first ray, shock, and so forth, and for the third ray, let's say, entanglement. I'll think more precisely, but we should each of us, I think, portray these crises that occur in the life with a particular epitome. The method of dealing with them is already somewhat given through the words inclusion, centralization, stillness, steadfastness, detachment, and then we can use, let's say we use the word dissociation or restraint, and we'll see what we use here in the seventh ray case. So a seventh ray crisis, then it will be obvious, at least to the Tibetan, what this crisis is. If the man concerned is materially minded, selfishly ambitious and unloving, you know, we can call this the modern selfish mental magician. The inpouring will stimulate the personality nature, and he will be immediately warring furiously with all that we mean by the instinctual, psychic, and intellectual life. So this will mean the vitalization of the dweller on the threshold. And the opponent will to the soul will arise in strength and will forcefully contradict the soul direction. So we can see a great purification will be needed. But among many seventh-ray types, there seems to be a tendency to use substances to induce certain latent states. So obviously one has to stay away from all use of these drugs which overstimulate the outer nature, and then when the inner point, the energy of the inner point is also activated, there will become a descent whereby the soul energy will be appropriated in a personality context, and we'll have the overstimulation of the personality. Warring furiously. Obviously the man wants to build properly, but there'll be all kinds of lower tendencies, the subterranean powers, powers within oneself, will be aroused, and they will inhibit, or they will oppose the direction, the spiritual direction he had in mind. When all these three are stimulated, the instinctual, psychic, and intellectual nature, I assume that's what he means, the three personality powers, the disciple is off for a time, swung off the center, and let's just say, swung out of the protective pentagram into a maelstrom, a veritable storm, a swirling storm of magical work of the lower kind. Sex magic of and many forms of black magic, which is the prostitution of soul powers to personal and selfish ends. He is glamored by the beauty of his motive and deceived by the acquired potency of his personality, which has been aroused in its own nature by the contacted soul force. So purification is needed. So the powers of the body and of the lower bodies are released. The powers of the body and of the lower bodies is released, and the man is blinded to higher objectives. And of course, the beauty of his motive, to arouse, to make contact with the higher life and to become an empowered person. The motive to make contact with the higher life and become an empowered person. But then the true nature of the higher life is no longer seen because of preoccupation with the aroused personality energies and forces, really, maybe. Let's call them forces more than energies. Okay. We have to remember that this seventh ray is the ray of practical occultism. Is the ray of what's called practical occultism. So a theoretical approach is not dealt with for a long time. But one wants to enter into the manipulation of subtle energies. And there, the prematurity and the danger. I've often seen it to be the case, you know, well, of course, second-ray types, they study maybe too much, you know, too much study without taking action. But the seventh-ray type, I've seen, says, well, let's get practical about this. Let's really start doing something. Insufficient study before taking action. The two approaches can somewhat correct each other. Let's go on and see how this process is developing in the case of the seventh-ray soul. If, however, he is warned of the danger and aware of the possibility of arousing the lower nature through its impurity and his wrong motivation, he will stand steady at the center within the mystical pentagram, the place of power, the place of illumination. So a steady stance of the rightly motivated and purified man. So don't, we say, play with fire before the vehicles have been purified and rightly oriented. It seems that the human being wants so much before he is really ready to handle what he wants. We've seen this in Atlantis. I guess those people were in no position to handle constructively the forces which were placed at their disposal. And I guess we're all there, and we all learn the hard way. Some sense of all the time that has passed since that time will probably dawn on the rising initiate. I'm sure we'll be astonished at how we stood in our own way. There was the rebellion on the moon in the first solar system, on whatever planet and of whatever nature. He said there was a group that was inclined to rebel, which I think meant to go against the prevailing intention of the solar logos. Then there was in our solar system the failure on the moon chain. Then there was the great battle in Atlantis between the forces that preferred those former methods and orientations and those that were trying to get with the program presented in our fourth chain and in our soul-oriented solar system. So we've had our fair share of self-destructive behavior, we as a race, and self-delaying behavior. So a steady stance and the power there, interesting, to suffer until the light in the east rises upon his darkness, discovering him still at the midway point. You know, he is the crisis is followed by light if there is a steady stance in the in the presence of the soul, and a refusal to swing actively into magic. Magic of the lower kind. So one must refrain at first from using one's powers or rising powers in a personal way. And I suppose, what is this suffering based upon? You know, one becomes a vessel of transmutation and must bear the process without relieving oneself through inappropriate expression in the lower worlds. So there is an alchemical process is going on, and one must endure the transformation. So the light in the east breaks forth. It reveals the situation, as always. Even though DK doesn't always discuss that, the light will always reveal something of the process in which the one finds himself, capable of having and receiving powers, but not knowing really what to do with them. So the light will reveal his present condition, but also give him the right, and this is the word I've used, orientation towards the soul and its powers and its motives and intentions. So his darkness as a personal magician will be revealed to him in this light he is invoking through his standing still in the midst of soul presence. Let's just call it that. And a revelation will come. And as DKD is being very specific here about when it comes, then comes the revelation of the plan, for this is ever to be the motivating power of the seventh ray. So let's just say, I'll make this a little bit purple, put it in a color of the seventh ray, because it's so important here for the seventh ray type. Then comes the revelation of the plan, for this is ever to be the motivating power of the seventh ray disciple. When he, DK is not saying too much, he's just giving the outline here of what this process may be, assuming that the types to whom it pertains will be able to grasp with clarity what the phases are. When he refuses to apply his incoming powers selfishly and refuses to get caught up in the maelstrom of glamour, illusion, and Maya, glamour, and illusion, then the growing light will bring revelation of another way, the right way. How shall I work? The right way of expressing and implementing the divine plan. So he will have vision. Whereas if he had chosen incorrectly, he would have only activity of a consciousness obscuring type. He would distance himself from his inner center. He has to find his center within the soul. But, you know, we're told here that he's still standing as the, he's still at the midway point. He's still at the midway point. He is still the disciple. He is still the soul in incarnation, or the disciple. But he is increasingly the illuminated disciple who knows how to work, because he loves the divine plan. He loves the divine plan and can draw upon that plan as his motivation and his guidance, motivation, guidance, and power. So, if he will refrain, but you know how it is. I mean, you see this among would-be magicians today. They want to start doing something right away. It's like the healers who don't want to really study the technique, but as soon as they know a little bit, they want to start go out there and healing. It's kind of being overcome by the activity aspect. And instead of using wisdom and judiciousness and restraining their activity aspect until it can be wisely administered, they rush into action. So we have a lot of people who are conducting all, you know, they're using magical words and using spells and mantric formulas to affect certain ends in the lower worlds, but they're not yet soul-centered. They can't really work as a white magician. They don't have the real connection with themselves as the angel of the presence or with the solar angel. And they will have to undo much of what they have done through their premature magical activity. So we can say that there is a, ideally, a refraining from premature magical activity. I guess we will see quite a number of examples of people who rushed in where angels feared to tread and began dealing with rising powers, thinking that their rising powers of the personality may well be magical powers, and beginning to apply those. And probably people get themselves into some very difficult situations from which they will have to be rescued during the coming age if they don't study sufficiently and observe the proper cautions. But of course I know some rules, some magical controls, some words of power, some forces I can direct. But also the deep soul motive has to be there. So now there has come the revelation of the plan. The plan is maybe most important in the consciousness of the seventh ray worker. How shall I work? Love not the work, let love of God's eternal plan fill your consciousness, control your life, your mind, your hand, your eye. All of us should really be plan controlled, and our service of the plan is even in a way more important than our service of those whom the plan serves, because if the plan is rightly served, all will be properly served. And our last service is of those who serve the plan. Sometimes we imagine, well, let us serve the hierarchy first. Well, we'll do that if we really serve humanity properly according to the divine plan. So he works on earth upon the outer plane of manifestation, that is the seventh plane, and particularly his plane of labor, O worker in the furthest world, with the construction of those forms which, through which the divine will can express itself. And there is the connection with will. There is the seventh ray outer plane of manifestation. There's the seventh ray connection with the will. A worker in the furthest world, we will be able to straighten out this furthest world during this period of etheric rearrangement. Probably that's the most important. We can also work in the, strictly speaking, in the outer worlds, but unless we correct the etheric condition of human beings, we will have the same difficulty. We will have forms which are imprisoning rather than forms which are truly expressive. We understand, remember, the will to express or the will to expression. This is the seventh ray type of will, and we have to have the forms to which that expression can occur. In the field of religion, he works in collaboration. Notice this word collaboration, because it is one of the major words, co-labor and cooperation. Co-labor, the idea of the division of labor is very strong in the consciousness of the seventh ray type. In the field of religion, he works in collaboration with the second and sixth ray disciples. In the field of government, he labors. Notice, he is the worker, right? He is the worker. He's the worker in the furthest world. So he's a laborer. He really loves to work, but it has to be meaningful work and directed work. Otherwise, he just goes through the motions and is trapped in routine. In the field of government, he labors, building those forms which will enable the first ray activity to be expressed. In the field of business, he cooperates with the third ray energies and the executives of the plan, who work with the law of cycles and bring things through creatively at the right time, bringing those energies together which are needed to manifest the next phase of the plan. In the field of science, he assists the fifth ray workers. So he really is a, he is a collaborator, there's no such word, but a co-laborer, leading, helping others achieve consummation. And so in many cases may be behind the scenes. We may remember the section in the Rays of Initiations where it talks about the goal of the various types of initiates, and to all of these efforts, the seventh ray type lends its assistance, leading to the consummation of the other types. Maybe I can find that in the Rays of Initiations. I think it's always interesting about how the seventh ray works. Positivity. So here it is. The preservation of values is the task of the initiate of the first ray. The attainment of positivity is the goal of the initiate of the second ray, and he who works upon the third ray must reach the path from here to there. Sounds so Mercurian, doesn't it? The initiate of the fourth ray arrives at the will aspect when conflict steps into its rightful place and causes no undue concern instead of reactivity. These four attainments mark the goal for men and sway them all upon the lower point of consciousness. These goals affect the way we, in our lower points of consciousness, are to orient ourselves towards the divine will. The ray of vision and of application indicates the way direct. Well, vision indicates the way direct. Application is of the fifth ray, evokes the will to follow, which is the sixth ray again, and welds the love of God and the love of man, the welding force, interesting, the heating up of matter under Vulcan, a kind of a fifth ray process here, and welds the love of God and the love of man and all that breathes into the purpose underlying all. And the fifth ray will do this when it scientifically brings together the soul and the personality and towards, and this is the point, and towards the purpose and its earthly consummation. The seventh ray gives all it has. This is a marvelous paragraph, and one that should be remembered in terms of enunciating the goals. It's on page 507 of the Rays and the Initiations. So let's say remember. Remember 507 of the Rays and Initiations. And actually, I would like to copy that, this particular phrase. And towards that purpose and its earthly consummation, I mean, there are many ways to consummate, and not all consummations are upon the physical plane, but the seventh ray is peculiarly adept at creating seventh ray consummations. And towards that purpose and its earthly consummation, the seventh ray gives all it has. He, the seventh ray disciple, is the expression of the builder and the creator, bringing into outer manifestation God's plan. You know, and when we speak of the blessed ones, with this blessed one, release must come and work, through work. And the blessed one stanza will tell us something important here. Release, work, sounding, and there are the words. Thank goodness for them. For this blessed one, release is found in work. He must display his knowledge of the plan by the sounding of those words which will evoke the builders of the forms and thus create the new. Okay. He is the expression of the builder, the creator, bringing into outer manifestation God's plan. He begins, however, with himself, and seeks to bring the expression of the plan of his soul in his own setting and worldly situation. And we must always make sure that what we seek to do in the world, we can do within ourselves. So, whoop, it's a no and a no. There we are. So, what we seek to do within the world, we must be able to do within ourselves. So this seventh ray type knows the meaning of example and setting that example. Until he can do this, he is unable to stand in the east within the pentagram. In other words, he must prove his own soul orientation, that's the word I've used again, and standing. He must be oriented towards the east and stand steady. Steadiness, of course, is another, let's just say another kind of word is waiting at the center. But we've seen that in so many cases. We've seen it with the third ray, and we've seen it with the sixth ray too. Standing at the center and refraining from the premature application of the activity aspect until one knows, really knows, what one is doing. All right, it is occultly said that the pentagram is open and a place of danger when the disciple knows not order within his own life. So order, right rhythm, right purification. And when the ritual of the soul is not imposed and its rhythm is not obeyed, then we would have chaos and a misarrangement of energies. So bringing all into correct and responsive order, listen, a worker in the furthest worlds, to the rhythm of the plan, rhythm of the times, note the pulsation in the heart of that which is divine, right? Retire into the silence and attune yourself unto the whole. Then venture forth. Establish the right rhythm. Bring order to the forms of life which must express the plan of deity. So bringing right order into the microcosmic life. Bring right order into the microcosmic life. This is the first task. So, of course, there is an attention to this kind of task around the time of the first initiation when the seventh ray is much in evidence through the mind, we are told, and also through the physical nature. So the attempt to do the right thing spiritually in the physical world is there at the first initiation, but it only grows as we go along, and the seventh ray type persists in its attempt to do this. So the ritual of the soul, we might say, attending to the times and cycles of meditation, and receiving and expressing in an ordered way that which the soul sends forth. We're told the rhythmic streams of energy are sent forth by the soul, but so often we do not have the right outer rhythm to receive them, and we're doing other things, preoccupied busily with other things, rather than cooperating with the timing of the soul so that we can steadily build in its energies and intentions. So the open pentagram is a place of danger, a place of disorder. It allows in the lower energies in a chaotic manner and frustrates the work, and its rhythm is not obeyed. Okay, the pentagram is closed when order is restored and the ritual of the master is imposed. Very interesting from the old commentary. What kind of mind will we have? The mind is always symbolized by the five, and the geometrical symbol of the five is the pentagram. So, will we have the mind which is contained from outgoing and is focused within the light of the soul? Because that's what we're talking about here. When the mind is focused within the light of the soul, it can apply soul forces properly in the outer world and not be overwhelmed. This type of mind can control the, let's call them, erupting forces stimulated by soul contact. It can handle over stimulation. The writing goes on to say that if the disciple enters through the open pentagram, he dies. The magician magician can die in so many ways if he loses control and fails to guide the forces on their proper path. Danger there is, we have been told in this stanza. What shall I do? Danger there is. The task that I've undertaken is not easy of accomplishment. Yet I love power. See, that's the thing. I love to see the forms emerge created by my mind and do their work, fulfill the plan, and disappear. Yet it's that love of power in the personal sense that can incline the individual to serve the direction of the lower forces through the open pentagram and not serve the in, white magical intentions of the soul. So the writing goes on to say that if the disciple enters through the open pentagram, he dies. If he passes over into the closed pentagram, which is, let's call it a field of spiritual protection, he lives, he thrives in the vitality of the soul. He thrives spiritually in the vitality of the soul. If he transmutes the pentagram into a ring of fire, he serves the plan. Now, it's almost as if transmutation of lower mind into a higher mind. Okay. And of the five-pointed star into the circle. The fiery circle of soul life. Well, more of this kind of transmutative process will be revealed during the coming age, no doubt, because the energies will only grow in power and the magicians will again be with us. Of course, we can become a white magician as we become identified as the soul and seek to serve the plan, but those who specifically work in this way with the magical formulas will be coming into incarnation, probably with fair frequency during the seventh ray age, and will be creating the new civilization. So what do we have to do here? We have to requirements. We, as the seventh ray soul, let us say, we build correctly. We align with the soul in our building process. So if we learn to, as it says here, attend to our portion of the task, we see ourselves as a relating agent. I speak as if we were the seventh ray soul. He has to learn how to stand in the East, see himself as a relating agent. He has to learn how to focus in the illumined part of his mind, see himself as the relating agent, begin to enter into the building process, and then an alignment will take place. This alignment will mean a tremendous inflow of power and will produce a crisis in which two sides of his nature seem to be aroused, the form nature and also the soul nature, and he, the disciple, as the relating agent, will have to adjust these. So, we build correctly. Well, first of all, we stand within the light of mind and seek to perform our building task. This will produce alignment. Seek to perform correctly our building task. This will produce alignment. And alignment, A-L-I-G-N, as usual, will produce a powerful crisis with the relating agent or magician at the midway point as the disciple or soul in incarnation dealing with two highly energized centers. So there is necessary to handle this work. One must be rightly oriented, purified, non-material, selfless. So work upon the character is needed, a transmutation of the character, so that the forces of the lower self do not overwhelm the consciousness of the soul in incarnation, the disciple. So, then, as the energy enters from the soul, there must be a refraining from selfish work in the outer world, and a need to stand steady in the presence of and illuminating power of the soul, and suffer through the transmutation alchemical process. Well, when that occurs, and one is willing, one has to have the willingness to stand. Willingness to stand within the closed pentagram. It is even the standing in the right attitude that ensures that the pentagram is closed. If we cannot allow it to be open to the eruption of lower forces, but must always remain in control in the light of the soul. Then the light pours in and reveals all that is happening, and the next step ahead, which is to orient towards the soul more specifically. It's like revolving on a pedestal of light. Because so often the magician is facing out, but as we learn in the Law of Repulse, there's a magnet that turns him round, and he faces the room unseen before, the room of ordered beauty, the room of the soul. Then comes, in the growing light, comes revelation of the divine plan and of that which he must do to play his part spiritually. Before, he knew the part he could play in his own plans, the part he could play, let's say, more or less constructively in the world, but now his specific role in the great spiritual enterprise is revealed, and also the largeness of the divine plan. And I suppose that as he carries out the work, the great work, it's magic, the great work, which has been revealed to him, then integration will be the result. Then draw a line from that which is without to that which is within, and see the plan take form. And this signals the period of right integration. Well, the way the actuary process is presented in all these cases is different, and it has its subtleties, and DK is never quite presenting it in a strictly sequential manner. You see that suddenly you see you're in one of the phases that has been described as part of the alignment, crisis, light, revelation, and integration process. Suddenly you are there. And he has not necessarily announced that you are now in this process. The intensifying light may reveal defect, but it also leads to revelation, and the revelation is almost always of the divine plan. Maybe the light reveals, let's put it like this, the light often reveals what the disciple must do within himself to express the soul in his own microcosmic nature. The intensifying light becomes revelation. This is the general condition, and revelation is always related to the larger picture or to the plan. So as soon as we have suffered the approach of the soul and the vision of that which the growing light reveals, because the soul is approaching, bringing more light, then the light will also reveal the way we must travel to leave behind the condition which was non-integrated and insufficiently spiritual. So we begin to take those steps, we take those steps indicated to us by the growing light. And this intensifying light becomes revelation, revealing not only what we have to do within ourselves to correct and spiritualize our nature, but what we have to do within the world in accordance with the divine plan. And then, in general, I'm kind of summing things up here a little bit. In general, what we have to do, let's see, get this in the right order here. As we work at the plan, we work at the revealed plan, integration comes. So integration, because the soul is plan-oriented. A soul is plan-oriented. And when we serve the plan, we move ever closer to the soul and achieve the union of the soul ray with the personality ray, as if the personality ray were a sub-ray, SB, our sub-ray of the soul. So integration within our own nature and integration with the larger context as a servant of the divine plan. Well, what I would suggest, and I think I'll do it for myself, and of course I've been doing it in a way all along as I've been discussing this, but I would suggest that everyone review, go over the acclery process, and make sure that in terms of each ray, its different phases make sense to you. I tended to do that at the end of each one of DK's discussions on the stanza, what integration would look like, and what the integrative word would create in the life of the individual. It's always going to be soul union. That's what integration will be. It will be the bringing together of the two energy systems such that when the personality acts, the soul is always acting through it. So integration will mean that when the personality acts, it is always the soul working through that acting. And the personality does not act as a free agent. The disciple standing at the midway point is always the agent of the soul when the integrated state occurs. Later, the disciple will realize himself to be the soul, and the soul will entirely infuse the personality. That's what we're going to get into very soon. We're going to deal with the techniques of fusion. So try to have in your mind a conception of what it's like for each one of these personalities under a particular type of soul to feel that it is integrated into the life of the soul and is responding always to the life of the soul. I've dealt with this to a degree in the Tapestry of the Gods books, probably in some detail. It was written so long ago, maybe, you know, 25 years ago or a bit more. And I would have to reread what I had said there, but at least I think I pointed us in the right direction. You know, the integrated first-ray soul type, it has a personality that is now filled with love, so he's serving the plan with love as well as with will. And the integrated second-ray type is detached from the love of the form and is drawing all together, all the traveling points of light, moving towards the great center. So it has found its own central point within the soul and is helping others find that point and is moving them forward towards ever greater states of integration. The integrated third ray type is no longer serving, using the power of intelligence to serve his own ends, but in fact is an intelligent cooperator with the divine plan. He's become identified as the weaver behind the forms. Behind the forms, the weaver stands and silently he weaves. He's no longer chasing after evanescent, vanishing actualities, which he thinks are realities. So he's all of his powers of intelligence and of weaving and of manipulation are at the behest of the soul, and it's almost as if the soul is working through him. See, yet with an integrated with a personality which is integrated with the soul always works through the personality. So there is no longer independent personality work for its own motives. All personality action is directed by soul motive. And of course, eventually the individual realizes himself to be the soul itself working in the lower three worlds. The integrated state of the fourth ray is unified and conflict is resolved, and thus shall the beauty of the Lord shine forth, and always so, regardless of the conflicts in the immediate circumstance, all of which are seen as part of the peace process. These apparently warring energies are really energies which are misunderstood and have to express their tendencies in order for a larger type of peace, which is now appreciated by the single eye of the integrated disciple, in order for, let's see, I got myself a little tied up there, but there is a process of peace which can be appreciated by that single eye of the integrated disciple. And he's no longer limited by the perception only of conflict, because much of what is perceived as conflict is due to the limitation of the perceiver. Differences are perceived as conflicts. But from a higher point of view, a higher vibration, having moved on apace and seeing through the opened eye of inner vision, those apparently warring energies are really constructively assisting each other to create the greater harmony. So there is an elevation of understanding for this integrated fourth-ray type. The integrated fifth-ray type has mastered energy. And as DK said, it's a very powerful formula, because the mind is used in a new way as a great connector. And the soul is revealed, the form is revealed, and the knower is revealed. The mind is revealed as the integrating agent. And through the mastery of energy, one is able to function as a unified being in all of these worlds, in the world of the form, in the world of the mind, and in the world of the one. The Trinity reveals its oneness under the influence of the fifth ray as it works through the mind. Remember that interesting thing, we sometimes talk about whether we have a fifth-ray mind or not, but if you have a fifth-ray soul, you have a fifth-ray mind. And what I mean by that is that the soul ray expresses upon the plane of mind. It's the higher mind, okay. So the higher mind is expressing the fifth-ray and is uniting the different factors of the nature, uniting the basic triangle. And the integrated fifth-ray personality, the one that is blending the soul and personality ray, can be efficient in unsuspected ways in all of these domains, in the realm of the soul, in the realm of the mind, and in the realm of the form per se. A new connection is created, not just a mystical connection, but a truly occult and factually understood connection between soul and personality. And let us remember that the climax of the integration process has been said to be the union of the soul and personality ray, and that's also the climax of the fusion process. Although, let's say that in the fusion process, maybe the personality ray emerges even more strongly as an example or an expression of the soul ray, as the instrument, the emergent expression of the soul ray. When we come here to the sixth ray, what is the integrated sixth ray being looking like? There's so many admonitions here. All until the very end, the sixth ray type is being advised what not to do and what to do, but I think we will have the world savior here, the inclusive and practical idealist. Especially inclusivity comes about, because from the center, all the different paths are valued, and one becomes an enthusiastic promoter of all ways to God. So the integrated six-ray type is no longer separative and narrow, but is a factor to promote the treading of the path for all types, on whatever path they may choose, all leading to the great consummation of the realized ideal of the soul. The ideal of the soul is love, inclusive love, as DK tells us here. The soul idealism, how does he put it? If he can learn, realize that devotion, expressing itself through the soul, is love and inclusiveness plus understanding. So the devotee becomes the inclusive devotee and is devoted to the process by which all other souls discover their true status and their true unity with things. He's devoted to the working out of God's plan and devoted to the helping of others play their share, work out their share enthusiastically in God's plan by whatever means they may choose. And then finally, the integrated seventh-ray type is truly the white magician, able to act as the soul. Here we have the personality as a true sub-ray of the soul ray, the disciple using the personality inspired by the soul, eventually realizing himself as the soul and bringing through in alignment and without obstruction and with real understanding of the forms which are to be produced in time, in certain cycles, working with real understanding of the divine plan. So I think what we should do is have our eyes open for the truly integrated types along this ray. Do we these seven rays, do we see them doing the kinds of things which DK has suggested the integrated type will do? Do we see them dropping their selfishness, any narrowness they have, any excessive exaggeration of traits which separate them from the divine? Do we see them as real workers in the divine plan? This is the question. And let's just say all seven integrated types are working at expressing the divine plan with real understanding according to their ray orientation. So let us attempt to make sure that we are increasingly soul integrated disciples, soul infused personalities. We have the soul, the disciple, and the personality. Let us try to draw all three of them together according to the formula of integration which applies to us. And let us use the integrative words to correct the processes in which we have been engaged for so many millions of years and which have kept us confined into the lower, in the lower three worlds. I'm going to stick with the word orientation. There might be a better word, but the idea is to be rightly oriented, to stand within the closed pentagram, oriented toward the soul and oriented towards the world at the same time, and being a true conductor in the best possible ritualistic form of the intention of the soul as it seeks to see the plan manifested through its sub-ray, through its disciple, through its disciple in the three worlds. So let us find our formula Let us work through it step by step and see where we are in the working through. Let us not be content to leave the formula in the condition of symbolism, but let it have an immediate practical application to our process of living and serving in the lower three worlds. I mean, do you find yourself doing what the summary phases of the formula indicate that the integrated individual will do, the soul integrated individual? And if not, where are you and what have you yet to do in the process to essentially reorient yourself toward the soul and to become a true instrument of the soul? Where exactly are you in the orientation process, or in the reorientation process? Of course, I would say, you know, we'd all have to be pretty far along to be taking a sufficient interest in these integration formulas to determine where we actually stood. So if we're really going to study these things to determine where we actually stand, chances are that we are nearing some of the climactic phases which show a spiritual union rather than, well, maybe skillful but still separative action in the outer world. And in the case of the third ray and the sixth ray, there's a real wagging finger there, because they are both rather caught up in their pursuits and rather blinded by their own activity. So we have had the opportunity to study this work. It always seems to me in a somewhat superficial manner, unfortunately, but at least sufficient enough to give an indication of how we might proceed when we find ourselves on a particular soul ray, and how we might understand others through our study of their rays and understand what their process is if we intend to work as esoteric psychologists. So this is the end of Techniques of Integration webinar commentaries number 17, Esoteric Psychology 2. And I suppose we have whatever page we are finally on, page 378. And we will go on to the techniques of fusion and duality, about which he doesn't say too much. All of these techniques are really, in a way, overlapping each other, and the many stanzas from the old commentary which deal with the process of a particular ray fill in the blanks for other similar processes. The different stanzas point to each other and sometimes can give the important words and thoughts for something that DK only touched on very, very lightly. You've seen how often I've gone to the Blessed One stanzas, even the Angel of the Presence stanzas, and also the Law of Repulse stanzas, to fill in here when we're dealing with the integration. But remember, integration is no small thing. It really does climax after the third initiation, just as fusion does, with the complete blending of the soul and personality ray. Fusion takes it a bit further, but we've seen that what he talks about is a climactic condition. The blending of these two rays, with the personality ray as the sub-ray of the soul ray, happens in both instances. We'll study that further as we go along. So the most important thing, think about where you are, think about your soul ray, think about the degree to which you are integrated and have made this personality ray, whatever it may be, a sub-ray of your soul intention, and think about the corrective measures you've had to go through in order to do that, and whether you're still in this process of correction or whether you're really coming home into the fuller expression of integration as indicated at the end of each stanza. So what I think we should do now is simply do the great invocation together at the end of this section. And then, as time allows, get into the next and highly occult section. What I've been trying to do here, basically, is to go through some of the sections of the books, especially now the Esoteric Psychology book, where the old commentary is featured and where there may be some difficulty of interpretation, and then offering my own thoughts on these ancient stanzas so as to help the students find their own thoughts, their own interpretations, see whether you agree with me, maybe you don't, you know, maybe you see something that I failed to see. As I talk along, obviously, if I could just stop everything, concentrate, ponder, work for a couple of hours, some greater light might come through, but I've chosen this particular method of teaching at this time, which is more of a spontaneous running commentary based upon my own experience over the years with these teachings. So anyway, the great invocation, and then we'll get on to a new section as time allows. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, lots to study. I feel like restudying it myself right now, and feel like reviewing the Aclary process and making columns for every stage. Maybe you'll do that. Maybe I will. If I do, I'll bring it back to you. And if I don't, well, then you do it and see what you think. There's enough here to help you do it. Okay, we'll be back to you with the discussion of the techniques of fusion. See you then.